This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on 104.5 The Zone.
The final hour is here. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone, alongside Chad Withrow. I'm looking at him in Mount Juliet. Paul Kuharski in Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. David Reed, not here today. He was in a car accident this morning on the way to work. Had to go to the ER, and the latest update from his wife, Lindsay, everything is okay so far. That's great news. It's also cool of Schaefer and JT to be able to change their schedule on the fly. Schaefer just filled in for the last 3 hours with us after the morning show with JT and J. Martin Ramon. And now JT is in an hour early ahead of Mickey and Blaine. So thanks to both of them for adjusting on the fly on this Thursday with us. Glad you're with us. We'll continue to update you on Reed's status as we get some news and notes from his wife, Lindsay. And we've got plenty of headlines to hit this hour as well. We will get into Tennessee and South Carolina, Titans and Vikings, and much more. And Paul, we will start the discussion with a story you have just posted at paulkuharski.com involving a former Titan and a story that you and Chad both had last year.
Yeah, so Ryan Fowler, the former Titans linebacker who worked as a part of the Ravenwood football program, is facing a lawsuit that also names Jason Golden, the superintendent of Williamson County Schools, and the Williamson County Board of Education. It seeks $3 million in compensatory damages and $12 million in punitive damages, alleging battery and negligence by Fowler, negligence by all three. For this hit that Fowler put on a student athlete named identified as TH, the suit is by Scott Holloway on behalf of himself and his minor son, who's only identified as TH throughout this suit. It describes the hit that Fowler put on the kid, standing as an outside linebacker in a practice drill with the kid as an offensive guard, the resulting long-term effects of the concussion that he suffered, the long-term effect on him, kind of the effect in school where people were out on the kid because Fowler was such a popular person. He's no longer connected to the school. It also details an incident that he had previously in February 2018 where he had his hands on a kid who he allegedly slammed into a desk to mimic quote unquote game-like activity. So no word from Fowler, Fowler's lawyer. I texted Fowler asking for information on a lawyer, and he kind of asked me, am I serious? And I said, yeah, I'm looking at a lawsuit against you and I'm seeking comment. And then he didn't have anything else to say. Carol Birdsong, the communications director for Williamson County Schools, said that they don't comment on pending litigation. So this is obviously one side of the deal, but has a great amount of detail in it about what they are alleging and what they want to happen. In addition to the money, they want assurances about programs that ensure a coach won't be in a situation to hurt a kid in a practice situation, and assurances that there are other minor children can go to school in Williamson County without, being, they're not, my word, not theirs, victimized by being connected to their brother who, was ostracized as a result of being the victim in this incident.
This ultimately always unravels into this, the America's being wussified discussion, which I don't want it to go there when we discuss this story, because we immediately get, Jockey Jockerson from 1975 talking about their coach punching them in the face repeatedly in practice and
Jockey
all these extreme stories of things like that happening. We've all been coached by someone. We've all had hands laid on us probably by a coach at some point. I think we all know what crosses the boundary of what's acceptable and what's not for coach and player contact. You know, I've been jerked up by my jersey out of a seat to go into games. I've been shoved before, you know, nothing that was that bad at all. And looking back, I still don't think it's that bad. So this is not about the wussification of America or any of that. So let's stop that right there. I think most reasonable people, and I've talked to a lot of high school coaches about this, talked to a lot of football coaches about this, most reasonable people, regardless of how good of a guy Ryan Fowler might be, and I hear he's a very good guy.
I thought he was a really, terrific guy.
People really like him, and I'm sure he's not a bad guy. But again, I think most reasonable people would say not a good decision for a grown man that's a former NFL player to put on full pads and participate in a full contact football practice with kids. I don't think Ryan Fowler tried to hurt this kid and injure him in this way. I would hope not. But most everyone would agree that's not something you should be doing in full pads. And let's think about the difference here. Yes, coaches get out and physically work with football players a lot. How many people had coaches that would put on full pads that played in the NFL, that's still in peak physical condition, that went out and were hitting kids in full pads? And oh, by the way, this is just the one time that something really bad happened. Maybe this happened 1,000 times before no one got hurt, but it takes this one time for something like this to happen, and you get a multi-million dollar lawsuit on your hands. And more importantly, again, we're hearing one side of this, but based on what we're hearing on the one side, a kid's life has been damaged by this with the concussion and what's happened since the concussion. So let's look at it from that angle also.
Do the details, Paul and Chad, of what you guys learned in this story from last year, do they match what you had been told? Are they yes. worse than what you had described?
It matches it to a T. It yeah. matches it from someone that I heard from that saw it on Huddle before they deleted the Huddle
and
account.
This confirms
that
it was removed from Huddle, the accusations in here. Say the parents saw it on Huddle, and it then disappeared from Huddle, which I think implicates that why would you take it off Huddle if it wasn't so bad? If it wasn't so bad, it would be your evidence on Huddle. You would leave it on Huddle and say, hey, look at it here. It's not so bad. Here's the other thing, Chad, and I think what you said was very well put. According to this suit, and this is a paragraph from my story that I think is telling, the suit details a previous incident in February of 2018 that resulted in Fowler being suspended without pay. This is when he was a bigger employee of the school. Suspended without pay, quote, after violently grabbing a student and slamming him on a table in what Mr. Fowler described as a game-like activity. When he returned, the suit claims Fowler was put on a performance improvement plan. So I think you could say one thing if the incident at hand on the field was the first blemish on Ryan Fowler's record with regard to doing something he shouldn't have done with the student. It is not. Now, I didn't know the details of that, so again, we're taking somebody else's word for it. Chad, I believe you heard the same that I did, that it wasn't the first time Fowler had behaved inappropriately with a student. There's detail, albeit from the plaintiff, of a previous case of him acting inappropriately, getting suspended without pay, and then being put on some sort of probationary program as a result of it. That concerns me and lends credence to the case that he had done something previously and then made a bad decision to put on pads and put himself in a situation where he could hit a kid. So again, on this wussification side, I would say, here's a guy that made a bad choice, not once, but twice in terms of physical contact with a kid that's inappropriate.
And look, I think there is a wussification going on in sports in America in a lot of ways with coach-player interaction. This is not one of them. This is not the case to be looking at that, because if you had a son and this happened to your son,
take it a step further. It's a former NFL player.
Exactly.
Who's doing this.
This is not a 70-year-old man that can't hurt someone. It is a guy in tip-top physical shape. Played in the NFL.
You just can't do it.
And I would say even if you are a 55-year-old man, not a good idea to put on full pads and go out there for both your health and the player's health. Not a good idea. So It's definitely a story. Let me also say this, and I know Paul got personal with Taylor Lewan earlier. I'll get a little bit personal with this also. Because there's a story that is a legitimate story that happens at your school and people report on that story, don't take that to mean that the person that reported on it wants something bad to happen to your school. Paul and I own websites. If I get a story that I know is a big story or worthwhile, I'm going to report it. I'm going to report that NBA is preparing to play a game before the rest of Metro Nashville is preparing to play a game when their headmaster was the one who signed the document stopping Metro Nashville schools from playing. And then, you know, in the dark of night, NBA might go back and change their schedule and back it up to the end of the season and do that without responding to me or anyone else. And that's fine. Don't hold that against me. That's not me trying to prevent you from playing. That's not me wanting something bad to happen to NBA. And I'll say the same about Ravenwood. I tried to go to Ravenwood with a media pass, and I was told that I can't go to Ravenwood by the assistant principal at Ravenwood, not directly, but through a friend. A friend associated with Ravenwood let me into the game. I stood on the sideline, didn't talk to anyone, minded my business, and I watched Ravenwood destroy Blackman in that game on Saturday. Stop this. This is just insane. Because there's a story out there and someone gets it and reports it, don't think that Paul or myself takes any joy in reporting a story like this. But if any reporter worth their salt or anyone who owns a website worth their salt, if they get a story like this, it's going to be reported. And the fact that it's now public record, it's going to be, especially with this lawsuit, it's going to get out there. Don't take that as I hate Ravenwood or I hate NBA. That's not the case. I love high school football. I'm a big advocate for high school sports being played and high school football being played. I love all of these programs. So don't take it as some personal affront when that happens. That's my soapbox on that.
Coming up next, this isn't the only story I've been working on. The mayor and the health department may not have ultimately been thinking the same thing on August 1st about whether fans should have been in Nissan Stadium on September 20th. I'm about to hit post on a story you should read, and we will be discussing when we return.
We will be reading that at paulkuharski.com and then discussing the story coming up. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Listen to 104.5 The Zone live on Alexa. Simply say, Alexa, enable 104.5 The Zone skill. Then when you want to listen, say, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. The story just posting at paulkuharski.com says an email shows that the Nashville Health Department was ready to clear the Titans for fans in attendance at Nissan Stadium for their most recent game against Jacksonville, but the mayor's office and John Cooper squashed it. That story in details in just a moment. We will pass along that there is a report, Chad, that Jeremy Pruitt is receiving a two-year extension on top of his current contract as he begins the 2020 season.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous to extend a coach now off of nothing new. Nothing new. This is part of the big problem with college football. Extensions for everyone all the time for doing nothing.
Well, I think the extension was planned at the end of last season, and then they were working through it, and then everything happened with COVID-19 and staff layoffs and furloughs and everything else, and they probably just now worked out the financials of it.
Let's but extend the guy that lost to Georgia State and admitted he didn't prepare his team. Let's get an extension on the table for that guy.
Well, he's won his last six games.
He still, also won the last six games of the year.
Still, why now? Why can't you wait a year?
Well, the reason we just said, because this year doesn't count probably for athletic departments, because there's going to be a lot of things thrown out there that are out of their control.
Wait and see it. There might be something that counts. Something that counts in his favor.
This, according to Chris Lowe, by the way, I didn't want to give credit to the wrong reporter. Chris Lowe with the report. I saw Mickey Ryan's retweet. That the new deal for Pruitt will now pay him $4.2 million annually. Sure. So he goes up by about $400,000. He is elected not to accept the $400,000 raise this year.
Good for him. I don't care about the money.
He's in his third season.
I think the financial structure of big time college coaches, Paul, is broken, to your point.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't bury Tennessee on this. I don't like it at all about where it's headed. And it's just this constant game of one-upsmanship. So in recruiting, you could say, hey, my guy's got a 3-year extension. Well, you guys got a 4-year extension. Now you got a 5-year extension. And you're locked in for this long. And really, they're not locked in anything because they could leave. I'm sure in his contract he has it where he could leave for Alabama, for instance, if that job came open and they offered him or some other program. So it's broken.
Paul, the system for getting fans in the stands was actually approved. The plan was approved by the Metro Health Department based on some information you received late last night.
So a group called Nashville for a Rational COVID Policy actually came to me and shared with me their public information request, their Freedom of Information Act request. It was kind of weird as I went through this stuff, because in the stuff that they asked for from certain officials in the mayor's office, including the word Titans and Nissan Stadium, were emails from me asking the mayor's office for information back when I was writing about some of this stuff. But in this stuff was an email from Michael Caldwell, who is the director of Nashville's health department. It was dated July 30th, and it basically said to Bill Phillips, the mayor's chief of staff, and Alex Johnniger, the head of the COVID task force for the mayor, who's a doctor, that here are draft memos for you to review and for our discussion and for our approval, so they can be forwarded to the individual facilities tomorrow if approved. Please alert me if there's any specific information or language you would like added or omitted. Here's the key line to me. I would prefer to complete our reviews and approval by 12 noon or thereafter, if possible. Now, that sounds to me, and I would imagine to you, he's in, right? I would prefer to complete our reviews and approval. He's expecting approval. The response comes the next day from Bill Phillips, and you can look at this email in the piece, which is unlocked and up. From Bill Phillips, very much in the first person, does not act like he's speaking for he and the mayor or for the mayor. Sounds very much like him. I would imagine he's speaking for the mayor. But he says, I know this is unpopular and I'm open to be convinced otherwise, but if a decision is needed today, then for me, it's no. He talks about wanting to see another week or 10 days worth of numbers. How do we tell wedding venues no? While moving on the Titans sounds and the Ryman, I think we need to come up with a plan for a variety of venues before taking care of quote unquote, the big guys. And these plans, these draft letters were not just for Nissan Stadium, but for the Ryman Auditorium pay-per-view event series and for First Horizon Ballpark concert series. So more detail in here, but this idea of him seeing more numbers disappears in emails. It goes away. Johnniger says that I spoke to him. He said, I did and still do think numbers were too high in July to make the recommendation for the end of September. I think that the Titans plan is a good one and wished then for, and am glad now that the community spread is much less so they can implement the plan. So the mayor's office was against. But in what Chris Song, the mayor's spokesman, said, he said that, you know, the numbers are a lot different now than they were then. He, quote, the mayor's office and the COVID-19 task force concluded that these metrics were prohibitive of any large gathering at the time. It's notable to me he did not say the health department. So my reporting is the health department was ready to go. The mayor's office was not.
That's the indication. And, you know, we were saying a month or two ago that we felt like the Titans would tell you they could safely host fans. Now, let's go a step or two further with this story. So, Paul, the initial plan was to try and host 20 to 25% of capacity initially, right?
That was the Titans' request. It's unclear to me in Caldwell's draft, which is not in these papers,
yeah,
if he came down from that. Jahangir said he thought it was in the 15, 20, 25% range.
Which is where Kansas City and Jacksonville are or were for their first home game from just initial reports and in the headlines there and the fans that were allowed to get in. But what we've been left with is now October, things are opening back up, thankfully. Fans are allowed to go, but at a limited capacity. So it starts out low at 7,000 fans and works its way up to the CDC guidelines, which is what, 21% by hopefully November? Is that the idea there?
You know, it's up in the air after the first three games, but I think the Titans at this point are selling the 15 and sticking with the 15 and, you know, prepared to go above that if allowed. The one other thing that I thought was significant in here from Jahangir was that he asked Dan Worley, the Titans general counsel. He was asked to get information from the Titans on what the rest of the league was doing. At that time, Worley sent him back, you know, a list of the 10 teams that had come out and said what they were doing. Jahangir took that email and wrote the health department head, Caldwell, and Phillips, the chief of staff in the mayor's office, forwarded Worley's email. And he was being, you know, wasn't saying yes or no on his feeling.
Mm-hmm.
He was merely forwarding it. But he said, as you can see, the proposal that we discussed is consistent, if not more restrictive than most other venues. So that was something that was in front of the mayor or the mayor's people at that time.
Does the mayor's guy not understand the difference between a wedding venue and a 70,000 seat NFL outdoor stadium?
Well, that's for you to interpret based on what he said.
Well, there. I'm going to interpret this one sentence. I think we need to come up with a plan for a variety of venues before taking care of the quote big guys. You need to prioritize, no doubt. But I would think that the NFL team in town is a priority. And this is not out of line for me to say. This is the problem that I have with this. There's not enough balance out there in thinking. This is a mayor who ran and won on, I am for Nashville for Nashvillians. I'm out for the little guy. I don't care about catering to tourists. I want to protect the interests of this city and their citizens first. And that's fine. That's a great platform to run on. I'm for the little guy. And this, that. To me, I'm reading this email, though, and I'm seeing this whole mentality of, well, we can't tell the NFL team to have 25% capacity. But what are the wedding venues going to do at that point? Well, we can't help the, and he puts in quotations, the big guys. And then not help everyone else. I think on its face, sure, that's great. Let's help the little guys too. Let's come up with a plan for everyone.
Well,
but if the health department's okay with it, and if they've got a plan that's sound, that's healthy and safe, it's okay to say okay to the billion-dollar company in your town, which, oh, by the way, also affects the little guy. There's a lot of fans and a lot of people who may want to attend that game that are Nashvillians, people that voted for you, that are this the little guy, I'm going to put in air quotes now too, the little guys that you don't reference in this while referencing the quote big guys, you help them also with this decision.
Paul, the one thing I thought of whenever I read this story, and I know you reached out to Chris Song, who's the mayor's press secretary, and he responded with some numbers and facts and figures, is that the Metro Health Department was okay with fans being in attendance when Mayor John Cooper came on our show in August and started pointing to all these numbers and comparing Nissan Stadium to a nursing home. That's initially what I thought was all these numbers. And Chris Song, the mayor's press secretary, references the positivity rate and the number increases per 100,000 residents. All of these numbers were available to the Metro Health Department as well. And in the corresponding emails that you have read through, they were okay with granting permission for the Tennessee Titans to host fans at Nissan Stadium.
And Bill Phillips, the chief of staff, said in the response to the email from Caldwell that was all but a green light from the health department, I'd like to see the numbers for 7 to 10 more days. Then there was no follow-up on that. Maybe there was by phone. Maybe there was face-to-face.
Right. Right.
There was not via email. And in those 7 to 10 days, all those numbers got better. All those numbers got better in that period of time. So if he was truly looking to see what happened to those numbers in those 7 to 10 days, the evidence he was looking for would have been trending in the right direction.
Yes.
So science, like everything else, has become a political. Yes. Preaching masks, preaching everything else to everyone, saying, look at the science. Science is going to beat this thing. Nothing else. Science is going to beat it. Going against the decision of scientists when they look at it. Now, and the reason being that we don't have a plan for wedding venues yet is what I'm reading from the mayor's office. That was what held them up. We can't say okay to this and not have a plan for wedding venues. I just don't get it. I don't understand why they would go against the wishes and the decision of their own Metro Health Board when it comes to this.
I did not hear, obviously, from Michael Caldwell or his spokesman, the director of the health department. He could still come back and say, no, I was on board with the mayor or whatever. I think if he does do that, it would be just to be unified. Cooper and Caldwell had joint authority on making this decision, and they may well want to provide a unified front. I still think that email says on August 1st, he was ready. He had a draft ready and sounded like, hey, let's revise this and get the approval out. That's what the email says, right?
Yes. And you guys know, I raised an eyebrow to this whenever Dr. Bill Schaffner came on our show. This was after we had learned that we were unlikely, or the discussion was whether or not we'd see fans at Nissan Stadium in September. And then the SEC put out that we were going to see a 25% capacity, and that included Neyland Stadium. The day after that report and that news broke, we had Dr. Bill Schaffner on, and I directly asked him if he was on board, if he liked the plan the SEC had in place to host fans, and he said it was worth trying. That's coming from a world-renowned infectious disease expert at 25% capacity at Neyland Stadium.
He's an NCAA advisor on their panel.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, thank you for – yes, you're right. And right after that, we learned that, well, there will be no fans at Nissan Stadium for the NFL. And at that point, I'm thinking, what's going on here? Where is the cross in information where it's okay in Knoxville to try this, but not okay in Nashville? And that's what really is confusing about all of it to just the common person walking the street that wants to go watch a football game that can follow rules. That's what, to me, there's no line of communication there that can explain exactly why that was in place.
And again, there was big praise here from the director of the task force for what the Titans had put together. Huge praise. And this is before the tiered plan that we're seeing in effect now with the ramping up of the fans. This was about ingress and egress and spacing and policing of mask wearing and all of that stuff. Could not have been more impressed with what they put together. So I think the Titans, you know, fans can take heart that the Titans did absolutely everything they can do. And look, I think the government side's probably going to say, look, it was one game and numbers moved, and there was significant time between game number one and game number two. And we erred on the side of caution and all of that. But this is a look back at the process over the summer and how things unfolded.
We'll continue the discussion. 615-737-1045, our number, 737-1045. I'm curious too, if you guys have heard further details on the tickets and fans trying to get those through Ticketmaster, whatever avenue they're trying. We can continue that discussion as well. Plus, Jeremy Pruitt gets the 2-year contract extension. So he had 3 years left. Now has a 5-year contract with the Tennessee Volunteers.
Got time for a couple calls if you want to join us to close out the show. 615-737-1045.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 1045 The Zone.
Week 3, and the Titans find themselves in the Twin Cities for a showdown against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Keith and Coach Dave McGinnis have the call. Kickoff is Sunday at noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue. As they listen on their drive home right now, David Reed, we are thinking about you, friend, and we hope everything goes well as soon as you get home. The great news is David Reed is on his way home right now after a car accident this morning where that sent him to the emergency room. His wife, Lindsay, has been waiting patiently during the COVID protocols where she couldn't be in the back with him at the hospital. But they're in the car now, headed home. So, Reed, we hope all is well. We are thrilled, as I know Lindsay is, and you are, that there was no structural damage to all the back injuries and hardware, as we'll call it, that you've had done. That's the great news. So, get well, man, and take all the time you need. JT is here for all 4 hours, as long as you need him to be, as he gives a thumbs
yes.
up.
And now I will set about a citizen's arrest on top of whatever happened to this guy who ran the red light.
We have no idea.
Yes. Give me a megaphone and
Where is Officer
corner.
Placentia? Where is he?
Well, he's in Williamson County. Is where he is. You have to deputize him for Davidson County. That's the first thing. And then we'll go from there. I know a naked kid on acid. We could set loose on this offender.
Oh,
actually, I don't know him, but you guys know him.
You're right. Oh, so Reed, we're glad. Hopefully, you're not loopy and you can actually understand what we're saying right now. But hopefully, everything goes well, man. And let us know if you need anything. Shout out to my neighbor, Mickey Hawk, who just brought me a Dr. Pepper from
Mickey
Sonic.
Hawk.
The Hawk.
Wow, yeah. What a name!
I know the Hawk.
I'm hearing the
it's a legit Marianne drop
from Brooklyn music.
He said, "Hey, I'm making a run. Do you want anything?" I said, "As a matter of fact, yes, I do."
Where the hell are my neighbors?
Is he also in radio? Is he like an FM classic rock DJ? This is Mickey Hawk. It's 4:30 p.m.
He's got the personality for radio. I know that. He'd be great.
Bring him in.
Like the top 40 personality.
Chad, what if you and I came into the Zoom room one day and the Hawk was just sitting there instead of Hutton? It's like, all right, guys, I got a good lineup here. We're set to go.
And it actually says the Hawk, not his full name on there, just the Hawk.
Hawk's got a legitimate outdoor living space back in the back. Like, I'm seriously jealous. It's like it's Kaharski level out here.
And we'll have a new name, PK Chad and the Hawk. That's the way we're trending, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Since we're not in the midday anymore.
Also in my backyard, we have about 5 bunnies, rabbits, who have grown just exponentially over the last week. We found them in the nest when Brody actually saved them by finding them because the mower was coming the very next day. And so he saved them. We have kept an eye on them, and now they're large enough to where they're out of their nest, but they're in the yard. And you never know if you're going to step on one or not. So that's the next obstacle. It's an obstacle course here at the Hutton.
Why don't you drive one of those over to the Reeds to hang with RV and be like a get well gift?
These rabbits are about the size of RV right now. So
there you go. They'd be perfect together.
David Reed, I hope you get better. And to show that I want you to get better, here's a bunny. Enjoy this bunny.
You got to give them 2 bunnies so that they may be fruitful and multiply.
What are the odds that Reed? What are the odds that Reed falls through his front door upon arrival,
and then goes back to the ER?
And it's videotaped. Yes.
Yeah. Lindsay, have your camera ready for video. We laugh because we love.
Oh, we laugh because we have great news to report. So yeah, absolutely. 615-737-1045, our number. Let's
you guys
go to Scott,
real
JT.
Quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Any chance that David could be back in at 6 tonight? I'd really like to get home. I mean, can you guys, like maybe around 4, send him a polite text?
In fact, they just sent me a text that says JT's not leaving, is what it says. JT's not leaving.
He's good to go.
Jordan will be with us for the 180 at 6 that's coming up tonight. Of course, Mickey and Blaine And then 3HL with Britton Don on the way. Right now, though, we go to Scott, final call of the show. Scotty. Scott, welcome.
Hey, guys. Echo your thoughts on Reed. That's scary. So much good went wrong. But anyway, I'm going out after Paul. Paul, why do you think a person that takes a team that didn't win a single game to the team that has actually beaten SEC opponents, beaten ranked SEC opponents, played competitively and has improved each year and has improved game by game, even though they had a bad go at the first of the year. Why do you think he doesn't deserve anything? And I mean, and then I'll let you answer that. And then I got one more comment.
Well, how long does he have left on his contract before the extension?
Counting this year, 3 years, I believe.
Well, I don't.
It's
think
now to 2025 is the extension.
So I don't think he doesn't deserve anything. I think he deserves what he has. Why, if you have 3 years left on your contract, doing the things that you just rattled off that he's done, is 3 years remaining on his contract not satisfactory? In what other business do you get an extension on 3 years remaining for the moderate accomplishments that he's given?
Well, I'll answer that. If you guys have spoken about it all day today, off and on, when you spoke about the uncertainties of what's going to happen this year in football, you go ahead and you put that out there and you get that stability there for your future recruits and where they're heading on the recruiting trail. And you put that stability there and you don't set your program back even further. And if you can't look at what they're doing, and I know you're objective on all of it, if you can't look at that and see that they're improving, then dude, get your eyes checked. But I mean, as I see it, you've got to be able to see they're on a trajectory. They're on a trajectory. Even though they haven't beaten the big three yet, they're on a trajectory of improvement, of solid improvement, getting things back to where it was. And I mean, frankly, it's obvious. It's just plainly obvious. And you got to be able to see that. So therefore, I think if some added stability to the end of that contract and you put something comfortable out there for all the recruits and the future of the staff and so on and so forth.
3 years. 3 years is a ton of stability. I'm watching a show on Netflix. It's a fictional show, but I think it reflects some accuracy. In 3 years, they're going to Mars. 3 years. That's an eternity in football terms. Why does it have to be 5 years? Why is 3 years not long enough? Why can't I wait and see what happens this year and then say, okay, well, that was another good year. I'll give them more after that.
There is a race
only
to always
college football. Do you extend this early?
Well, no. Well, not just in college football, in college sports,
college basketball,
college athletics.
Yeah,
I don't and care it, about
it's
the volleyball.
It's a race to keep up with who has a long term contract. It's not. No one's ever. If you are in a lame duck year, chances are you're out the door.
Sure, nobody's a lame duck in sports, period. But 3 years is a long way from a lame duck. If I'm recruiting you right now and you're a blue chipper, 3 years means I'm there for your entire career.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that what they always want is the coach will be there for the duration of the recruitment process to see it all the way through, like the whole – freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
I think that Jeremy Pruitt's doing a nice job. The system's broken. There's no need to have a contract extension to go through 2025 in practical terms, to Paul's point, but it is the business of college football to do these things because you're always trying to present to recruits that we're more committed to our coach than this guy is. And on and on you go, and then you get in these situations where the buyouts are bigger. Now, I will say this. I haven't looked at the specific terms of buyout and everything else. I bet Philip Fulmer is going to be smarter when it comes to buyouts if he ever has to fire a coach, and certainly smarter if the coach leaves on their own for any reason.
That's a great point.
That's an area where he'll be better than his
predecessor. And that's the detail I haven't seen yet. Did the buyout go lower because they gave the long-term extension? Then, you know.
There's some trade-off there.
It's also smart to not give him a raise this year.
They gave it to him, and he declined it.
Right. Let's not do that this year. That looks bad with everything else going on and everyone having to take pay cuts. That's not a good thing.
We are back at it tomorrow morning live from Edley's Barbecue. Sylvan Park is our location. Chad with a special announcement at 9 o'clock. that will want to have many of you wanting to join us at 10 a.m. at Edley's Barbecue Sylvan Park, where you can take advantage of $5 breakfast tacos. Come join us and kick off the SEC season with us. We'll be previewing all things, including the VolQuest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price, Tennessee, South Carolina, Titans, Vikings. We'll catch you tomorrow and tonight at 6.
PaulKuharski.com. Read the Ryan Fowler story and the health department versus the mayor story. Both unlocked for your reading pleasure. Now, don't block the box. Do lock the locks. See ya!